الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. In this hadith pak, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says of the beauty of a person's Islam is that he gives up all la yani, futile things, free things which are of no benefit to him, not in deen, not in dunya. Ulama have written, some have written that this is one third of our deen. One third of deen is based on this hadith. Some have written a quarter of deen is based on this hadith, which shows how important the teachings are in this one hadith, that it comprises a quarter or a third of our deen. So we should meditate, think about it very, very carefully, and that bring it into our lives, the reality of this hadith. It isn't only for making bayan or only for listening, but that we see and ponder that how much of it is in my life and how much effort I must make to bring it in me. First of all, everyone likes beauty, and whatever we make, we would like it to be beautiful. And so why not our Islam? Why, when it comes to Islam, then we are not worried of the beauty of our Islam? On one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting somebody with a friend of his, and as they were waiting outside of the house, he saw the garden well maintained, everything looked after, and the other side, the neighbors, it was very, very not looked after. So Maulana explained that, see, these people have kept some garden service, they look after their garden, it is so beautiful. And it's nice, a person feels nice about it. And those people haven't kept a gardener. They haven't kept some garden service. So Maulana explained, one, that just like that in our Islam, those who have got a sheikh and he beautifies them, they are beautiful like that. And they also feel nice, everyone looks at them, they are amal. And those that don't have a sheikh and they just neglect it, that was one point. Another point, Maulana explained that the beauty of a thing, we want beauty in our dunya's things. So Hazrat explained, why don't we want beauty in our deen? Like we want the garden to be nice, the house must be clean, spick and span. Hazrat said, your Quran Sharif tilawat, why don't you worry about that and make that also beautiful? Your tajweed, your makharij, your reading properly, all our namaz. Why don't we worry of making a beautiful namaz? Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, who explained the namaz of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, said, it is a beautiful namaz. What is this beautiful namaz? That from the beginning, how it was performed, with humility, where you could see from the outward things, you could see it's a namaz of concentration, devotion, ruku's are properly, sajda is properly, so why don't we want to make our namaz properly? We would like our clothes to be beautiful, we would like our car to be beautiful, but much more important, our deen must be beautiful. And in there also, that a person who gives preference to his dunya will neglect his deen. And a person who gives preference to his deen will neglect his dunya. Which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave the example of a person who has two wives. If you please the other one becomes unhappy. You please that one, this one becomes unhappy. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, dunya and akhirat are also like two co-wives in our lives. And many people would like to have two wives, so we all have got two wives. One is dunya and one is akhirah, so be satisfied with that. You don't have to worry about more. We all have got two wives. And then Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, a person who makes his dunya happy, his akhirah becomes unhappy. He harms and destroys his akhirah. A person who makes his akhirah and devotes time more there, his dunya becomes neglected. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after explaining the principle, then gave the advice. and said that Akhirat is forever and ever. So give preference to that which is forever over that which is temporary. So don't give preference to dunya, give preference to Akhirat. So the beauty of a person's Islam, Bismillah, is to give up the things which are not of benefit. Just a random example, a carpenter who's making some furniture. While he's making it, he'll put some clamps on it to hold the things together. He's put glue until the glue dries up and the joint is solid, etc. Various other things in many things. A dressmaker, a tailor, while he's sewing, he'll put pins everywhere to keep the cloth in place. Then he'll stitch it, etc. But then afterwards, when it's now it's done, the basic is done. That furniture is made, whatever, a table, a couch, whatever. Or the dress, the kurta is sewn, whatever the tailor was sewing, the dressmaker. Now they'll start taking out all that needles. Those were the things to keep it basically in place. But now, to get the beauty of it, you have to take those things out. So just like that, for a person, all of us, whether we take our own lives, what they were before, today we are now concerned, we are coming to majlis, which means we are concerned about Islam. Now we are concerned of making, bringing the beauty of Islam into our lives. Now, otherwise we were on our own, we were doing the basics, namaz, etc. But now all the other things, we have to start taking them out now. The pins, the clamps, all those other things, take them out to get the beauty of Islam now. So like that, in Sharia, Quran Sharif, ulama have, mufassirin have written, ulama have written in the kitabs, that for a person, for example, as far as dunya, his basic necessities are five. And he has to fulfill those, his mat'am, eating, mashrab, mankah, making nikah, maskan, and one other, five basic necessities ulama have explained. So a person sees to that. More than that, ulama have explained, now to have comfort in that is also permissible. That you make things of comfort, not only the basics, but you make it comfortable. Then ulama have explained, more than that, a little bit beauty and adornment is also permissible, which is within the limits of Shariat. But now you are going on treading on dangerous grounds. Very easily you can cross the border and you overdo things. So better to refrain from that. But that is permissible, to a little bit of beauty, adornment, etc. You hang up a frame which is permissible, etc. All those things are permissible. You have a garden, flower garden, vegetable garden is very good. But a flower garden, but now more time of yours is going in there. Now you want a swimming pool also. And now the money you spend for the swimming pool and to maintain it, whole winter you'll maintain it, but you won't use it. You can't use it. Now you're going to get involved in more and more things. But that is also permissible. So that is for a person who is still on the basics. And he is now doing those things. But when a person comes now that he wants to become a favorite of Allah, and he wants to become close to Allah, he wants the beauty of Islam to come out now, then it is tark. Tarke mala yani. All those things which are of no real benefit for him. His garden, if he doesn't have a garden, no problem. If he doesn't have the frame hanging up in the house, no problem. And if he doesn't have plastic flowers in the toilet, and they serve no purpose in any case. They're not even giving any fragrance also. Just, and worse it is, it will be haram. Because the kuffar are doing it, their toilets are like that, ours must be like that. Then it is tashabbu bil kuffar. If you are doing it just to make yourself happy. But that also, plastic flowers, you have to see, small things amuse small minds. That if these things are making you happy, then how small your mind is. You are fascinated with these things. A Muslim must be fascinated. And a person who goes in Islam and wants the closeness of Allah, and he also feels that I've become bay'at now. I'm a salik now. I'm walking towards Allah Ta'ala. People regard me also as a pious person. People regard me, I've got even khilafat now. People regard me as a buzurg also. But still our minds are in these small things. in our bathrooms, we have to see that how many mats we got just there. If they are serving some purpose, well and good. But if the mats are just there and we slip on them, or the tiles are smooth tiles, not non-slip tiles, and we got a mat which is slippery, and how many people have their falls in the wuzu, in the bathroom? Many people, especially as you grow older, your balance you start losing, and you slip. So what is the benefit of that? All those extra things, and there is no benefit in them. How many people? Our bathrooms is the place where other people normally don't use our bathroom. It's we who use our bathroom. You have sometimes your visitors who come or whatever, and especially your private bathroom, which in our times is like the ensuite bathroom. Now there you have got, you went for Hajj, and you took all the shampoos and that which were in the bathroom, and you put them in your bag. And now you come and put them in your bathroom. You're making yourself happy with that. So what, you want somebody to come in, come to your bathroom and they see. Now all this shampoo, that soap from that hotel, and all the hotels got their names. Now you were in this hotel, you were in that hotel. Now are those, what a small mind which is amusing you, which makes you happy. And you are supposed to be as those, and we are now talking for those who want to make the Islah, who feel that we have become bayat, we are regular with zikr, we are regular with namaz, but our minds are still so small. On our couches, in the lounge, we have got that little doily or what you call on the couch at the back. And that is only a job opportunity. It falls down all the time, it gives you a job opportunity, put it back again. Again it falls down, again put it back. All the time, what is it serving? What purpose is it serving? What are you getting out of it? Is it just giving you more job? You don't want to work, so now do some work. Or we have got some mess on the ground, and if they are serving a purpose, well and good. But they're not serving a purpose, and all the time they're going out of place. Now putting them right again, whole day. You're just putting them right all the time. So all this we have to think, and in all these matters, the sad part is before all these magazines, about the house, how to, what were those magazines' names? House and Home, there were many like that. Now it's on the internet. Now we go to that, if we are just copying the non-Muslims, that is totally haram for any Muslim, not only one who wants to make his Islah. But if you are doing it just to make yourself happy, certain things make you happy, there were no problem, there are things like that, but just unnecessary things. And if for tashabbu, how sad is that? For many of us, when we, the colors of, in things, matching, the clothes must match, and women are more prone to this. All the clothes, everything must match. In fact, one person from Zambia, very many years ago, who came for Jamaat to South Africa, he said that here in South Africa, people are gone way, which direction are you going? He said, even your wuzu khana, if the tiles are maroon color, the soap will be maroon color. The towels will be maroon color. The mats will be maroon. Everything matching. Even in the masjid toilet, wuzu khana, matching everything. And in our homes, we want everything to match. And our women folk also, their dressing, where the handbag, the shoes, everything. How and what benefit is in that? And how much of time? And if we gave a quarter of the time, 5% of the time for our deen to correct our, to learn something about deen, to correct our Quran Sharif, we put that time in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. For example, we read in 1 minute, how many times you can read, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. La sharika lahu. Ji. Ilaha. إله لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أحدا سمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. 2 million ثوابs. And in 1 minute you read it 5 times. 10 million ثوابs. And that we're wasting in the, now making sure all the things must match properly. My scarf must be right. And then again, really in most cases, we make ourselves look like spooks and ghosts. Sad to say, but our woman folk, when they wear the niqab is one color. And then they another thing over the head, another color again. All the different colors. And then those who put, what you call it, eyes, mascara, or they put in the eyes, and what bright colors also. And sometimes, according to your complexion and the color you put, you look really more like a spook. Allah Ta'ala, who you want to impress your husband? Your husband doesn't get impressed with that. Who you want to impress? So all this layani, fuzul, the more you give it up, the beauty of Islam will come. And the more we involve in all those things, then there is no beauty. And a person wants to make this Islam, he wants closeness to Allah. He needs a beautiful deen. And that is what he has to present to Allah Ta'ala. Today, men also, all our clothes must match. Our socks, what color they are, the shoes, what color. And in this, we perhaps don't realize, but how much money we spend. That our wardrobe has to be like that. Every day, and every day a different pair of shoes, how many of us? That we have to change our shoes all the time. And according to the occasion, we have to wear our shoes also. And all the different types of shoes. Then the socks have to be like that. Then the other clothes also. So all this layani which we have got. With our cars, I must have mags. What difference is it making? Just that makes you happy or you want to impress somebody else, even worse. And all the other extras on the cars. The basic thing is the car must give you your proper service. And the more you are interested in your deen, you'll spend your money more for that. Today we ask how many widows, how many orphans, how many people haven't got the basics of food, and we are wasting on so much money on these things. How many of us, we are addicted to our fishing, and we have to go for our fishing. And one fishing trip, how much it costs. But we don't notice the cost also. We went by, update now, I get my fishing tackle in order, my lines, my hooks, my bait, my sinkers, everything, how much. And then go for a week, go for a weekend, go to far off places, just for a weekend with the friends and we are going for fishing. That same, if we spend it for deen, even if we spend it for deen in our house, we made niyat of i'tikaf. For namaz, for men, they have to go for their faraz namaz, and we devote that one weekend to the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. For example, we read the third kalima. Hazrat Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went and visited Hazrat Ahani radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said, "Oh Allah's Rasul, I'm gone very old now, and I can't manage anymore anything. Tell me something that just sitting I can do." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam advised her, read third kalima 100 times. It will be equal to freeing 100 Arab slaves, prime slaves of the progeny and the ancestry of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And it will be equal to giving 100 horses fully laden and ready for jihad. Whatever is required for jihad, like giving 100 tanks today for jihad, or 100 jets, all ready with all the whatever is required, the bombs on it, everything. And it will be, the sawab will be like slaughtering 100 camels and feeding the poor. One camel, how many poor people will eat? 100 camels. And it will fill the from the ground to the earth, to the sky, with sawab. Just reading third kalima. In 1 minute, how many times we can read Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. As I was reading, we all could read. How many of us read it? Had we read it now also, we should have got all that sawab. But usually we don't. And whenever we hear any fazilat of any point of deen, as soon as possible, at that time make amal. Then Allah will open the doors for you. Otherwise, we just hear all this, and it's just a sami'na, just listening. We are, alhamdulillah, inshallah, not like the Yahud or the disobedient who say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we disobey. But we don't even say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We will follow, we will make amal. For us it is only Sami'na. Like they say that we are Sunni Muslims. That what? Sun to hear. We are Muslims who only hear. We are Sunni Muslims. And one is also to be Sun, to be dead, to be dumb, to have no life on you. So we have those Muslims also. We read the fazilat of Durood Sharif, we are Sun. This beautiful ashar that we read, no movement in us. And it also is a sad reflection that, for example, if somebody had to stand up now and said World Cup, somewhere match is taking place, and a certain person hit a hat-trick, a bow, or three people, or three sixes in a line, all of us, even those who are much in deen, wow, what an achievement. And here, for deen's sake, we are sun, we are dumb. We have no response from our side. So we have to try and bring this. So we should try and bring the beauty of Islam is to take out Turk, all the things which are no of no benefit. Not in your deen there any benefit. Benefit all color matching. You're painting your house, this wall must be this color. That's not our tariqah. That's the ways of the kuffar. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ The kuffar, they will wish that we were Muslim in the akhirat. يَوَدُّ لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّ Leave them, they eating and like the animals. They like that. What we following in their way? We had to show them the value of Islam. The value and the most beautiful clothing for men, particularly even more. How much more simplicity there is in that clothing. That has got beauty in it. And that is the true beauty. The beauty which is a reality when we dress according to sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu. When even men, they start putting handcuffs the buttons, cufflinks, and they've got those buttons here also, with the chain also. Right? And just a person goes through the stages. We were young boys. We also liked it. Allah reward our Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Such a mushfiq, such a kind. He should bring buttons, plastic, white, or small white plastic button. And with his own hand should take out that chain. And with his own hand should put this button on. And then alhamdulillah, a person for life. These are those things which automatically change you for life. That now all those other things, waste of time, money, and for all, one time Hazrat Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave a bayan in an ijtima, and he said that isn't the sunnah tariqah of nikah the best? All said yes. Then he said, well, we do it. There was dead silence. Why? Is it difficult? Very difficult. And then he asked to make nikah according to the trend, according to the custom, the flow, how everyone else is making. Isn't that very difficult? That for weeks before, months before preparation, going for shopping to London and Dubai and everywhere else in the world for the wedding, the amount of money that is spent, and then the preparation for the wedding, especially in those days when it wasn't handed over to caterers. And for 6 weeks or even longer, the all women should gather every night at the wedding house cleaning the rice. When rice wasn't cleaned like now we get it, it comes completely, there's no need to clean it anymore. When there were the little pieces of stone and grass, and the woman all hiring a big tent, you are making a big wedding. And then putting, not the caterers coming and putting the tables and the chairs, all the family people, extended family, big occasion. Isn't that very hard? All said, yes, very, very hard, very expensive. Will we all do it? Yes, all hands up. And two legs also. One time a Jamaat went to Mozambique, northern part of Mozambique, in the villages where people are very simple-minded. So the Jamaat made bayan finish. After that, they made the skill. They said, all put up your hands who are ready to go. They put up. Then he said, stand on your legs. So the translator mistranslated it. And he translated, put up your legs. So they all lay down and put their legs. So those Jamaat people were, what's happening now? They're all putting up, lying down and putting up their legs. So yeah, we'll put up our legs also, our hands also, for they're difficult, expensive. And those are the weddings that in the UK there was one wedding for the nikah itself, ijab in Kabul. They send the parents of the boy and the girl, and the Qazi staff to make it in a helicopter up. And they made ijab Kabul, all the nikah in the air. Before the helicopter landed, nikah was broken already. So with all that what we do, helicopter nikah and all funny things. In Karachi where they've got establishment just for weddings, where 3 days wedding celebrations. And if you see those halls, the lights that they, how it's lighted up, all, everything in there. 3 days wedding procession and all the things of the wedding taking place. At the end, they had a confusion whether the nikah took place or not. Everything else was done. And for what all that was for the nikah, that the khutbah and then ijab qabool, they didn't know whether that took place. Nobody, they couldn't recall, did that take place or not. So much absorbed in the other things. So unfortunately, what the way forward, if a person, and if we are sincere of our Islam, see what are the all the layani things in our lives, and take them out in our houses, in our cars, in our dressing, in everything, functions that we have. We have to eat. Sunnat way is all sit down. And after sitting down, then you put the dastarkhan, the actual proper sunnat. And then you bring the, not even plates, the thalis, from where 10 people will eat from one big kuncha, that big thali tray. And then we all sit there and the food come and then you eat, finish. Wash your hands before that. You eat, finish. And before you get up, all the food goes away. In fact, even the utensils. And when the dasturkhan is being taken away, then is the dua, Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran tayyiban, idha rufi'atil ma'idatu. That is the time of the dua. But that doesn't come in our lives. All the things are laid out before. And people, for us at least, ulama who shown kindness to us, they say if you put the utensils down, but don't put the food down, let the people sit first, then let the food come. And at least let the food go away first before you get up. But the actual thing, now if it is done like that, so simple it is. And the actual food is not a major issue in our lives also. When this question came, when Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi Muhammad Zakariya Sahib was teaching Bukhari Sharif that if Isha is, it's time for Isha, and supper is ready at the same time. So what should one do? Have his supper first, or should he go first for Isha? So the whole discussion takes place, but the upshot of it is that first eat, finish, and then go for Isha. So that when your stomach is full, in namaz you won't be thinking of your food all the time. Otherwise, your whole namaz, you are hungry, you just think your whole namaz, you'll make it food. For that reason, it is makruh to read namaz when the urge to go to the toilet is there. Because your whole namaz, your concentration is just there. To control your urine, to control your wind, to control your number two. And actually, such a namaz, when the urge is very strong and your mind is off your namaz, is wajibul iyadah. You should actually repeat that namaz again. But anyway, so first go and relieve yourself, then make your namaz. So eat first, finish, now your full concentration will be in namaz. So the students ask the question, Hazrat, if you're going to eat, finish, and Isha was ready, food also was ready, Isha Jamaat was ready, then we're going to miss our Jamaat namaz. So Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, like what the Sahaba and for whom this was said, and what our lifestyle was supposed to be, ke wo unka khana, the Sahaba, and what the Muslims are supposed to be, tumhare baba jaise khana nahi tha, how you people eat, and that first, this so many course meal, And then first this comes the starters, and then all the savouries, and then one course, and then two course. That was not their life. Eh? Their life was just two, three khajur, eat, drink water, and finish. And you go there, you got your takbir-e-ula also. But how we have changed from where to where, and yet we are the best Muslims. What resemblance we have got with the lives of the Sahaba and their deen. We are far, far from that. And yet we proclaim today, in fact, we are so much into the lives of the kuffar. And we are proving the kuffar lifestyle permissible from the Quran Sharif. Right off track, completely off we have gone. So we should work on that, all think, everyone for himself. What are the layani fuzul things in my life? How many pairs of shoes? Once we were in one country in South America, hot country, weather. To give a bayan and secure safety also, not. So we had to sit by the door on the veranda, and the ladies were there. So just there was a shoe rack. And from bottom to top, full with shoes. So I got happy also, mashallah, plenty ladies come, we can give our message to many ladies. Afterwards I found it was only the house lady. And all the shoes were hers. So many shoes all belonged to her. Not so many ladies came. So we today as men, how many shoes we got? And how many shoes a person needs? If we can open our wardrobe, all the different types of clothes for different occasions, and the woman is out of the question. How is this like that, the man? So Allah give us tawfiq that if you are coming, if you want to come closer to deen, the method is tarke mala yani. That give up all those fuzul, unnecessary things. Give them up. The more we give them up, the more the beauty of Islam is going to shine. And the more person has got Islam, the more he is loved by Allah, the more he is loved by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we want that line, then don't follow the line of the kuffar who fill their lives with all the other useless things of this dunya. No benefit, in fact harmful. And they fill their lives with that. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.